Psalm 13. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long, O Yahweh, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Yahweh my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to Yahweh, because he has dealt bountifully with me. So far the word of God, the reading of God's word. So again, it's to the chief musician. Reminder that the Psalms were inspired by the Holy Spirit for use in corporate worship. And it's very interesting because the first two verses and the last two verses, it's 3 2-verse couplets, basically. But the first two verses and the last two verses are almost exactly opposite in their emotion and their tone. The first two verses are very distressed. He cries out four different times, how long? And then the last two verses are rejoicing, delighted, singing, confident of salvation, thankful. And so how does he get from the delight or the despair in verses 1 and 2 to the delight in verses 5 and 6? By means of the prayer in verse 3 and 4. So verses 1 and 2 and their despair, he starts with that which is most distressing. Obviously, it's the circumstances that he can perceive. He is unable to see with his eyes or is unable to access the Lord himself directly. So the circumstance is this enemy that is being exalted over him. Perhaps Saul, maybe more appropriate to the time of Absalom. But the enemy seems to have the upper hand, and David seems to be humiliated. This is often the experience of believers. The Lord permits in his wisdom, his providence, that the enemies of the church, the enemies of believers, would for a time seem to have the upper hand. Not only has this been the experience of most of the church in most places throughout history, it was also the experience, of course, of Christ on the cross. And we identify with him and with all of our brethren when we go through such situations. But the enemy being exalted is not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is that it seems like this means that the Lord isn't acting with David in mind. When he says, will you forget me forever? The Lord's remembering and forgetting is not a state of consciousness or thought. It's the Lord acting in behalf of or in response to something or someone. When we ask him not to remember our iniquities, we're not asking God to develop divine amnesia. We're asking that he would respond to us or act not in response to our iniquities, but in response to his grace, and particularly the grace that has covered that sin and atoned for it in Christ. So the first great problem is that the Lord might not be thinking of David as he acts. How long, O Yahweh, will you forget me forever? For someone like David, the fact that the Lord is always mindful of him, always acting in his behalf, always turning his face upon him in grace, how long will you hide your face from me, he says in the second half of the verse. That's an infinite source of strength and gladness. Now, there are some who profess Christianity, but they think little of the Lord, and they think little of the Lord thinking of them. If it occurred to them that the Lord wasn't being mindful of them in everything he does in every place, yeah, that wouldn't distress them, because they do not have much, they do not have their hope in the Lord. They do not see him as the King of the universe who is always, always, always acting for them. And if you don't have this faith in the Creator who became a man to be your Savior and who works all things according to the counsel of His will, and in everything that He does is acting for your good and the same love that gave you Christ, you know, that's Christian faith. But a lot of people don't have Christian faith. So for them, it would not be a big deal to think, oh, well, God isn't being mindful of me right now. In fact, sometimes something out of the ordinary happens, and they think, you know, their way of thinking is that those are the rare moments in which God is thinking of them. But for someone like David, for biblical faith, the knowledge that the Lord is always remembering us in everything that he does is a continual source of strength and gladness. And when things seem to go badly, if our faith stumbles and we wonder if the Lord is remembering us, or if we simply cry out that to us it feels like he is not remembering us, that's a real distress for us. And if you have that distress, then Psalm 13 has comfort for you. But if it doesn't bother you, to think that the Lord is not mindful of you just now, then there isn't comfort for you from Psalm 13. Well, that's the biggest problem. That's the main thing for him. The idea that the Lord is hiding his face, the idea that the Lord might be forgetting him, or at least putting him through the experience of seeming to be forgotten. The second problem that David has is his own inner turmoil. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Faith is more troubled by its own internal sin and weakness than it is about the fact that it is sinned against. If Biden or somebody else does something crazy, which of course happens continually now, and I find myself anxious or worried or dismayed or as a result, I'm more troubled by the fact of my heart's wrong response and discouragement and fear and anxiety than I am that the wicked was wicked. Wicked being wicked is to be expected. God having been merciful and given us knowledge of himself in Christ, we're more troubled by our inner turmoil. And then the third and fourth problems that David has are found in the line, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? For David, this isn't just personal offense. He's the Lord's anointed king, and he is... and in him the Lord has invested his kingship and his kingdom. And the same for us, who are a royal priesthood and a kingdom of priests, those whom the Lord has united to Christ through faith. The kingdom is more important than us, and the honor of Christ in how we are treated is more important to us than our personal comfort or personal honor. Or offense. And so if the honor of Christ in the treatment of Christians is more important to us This not only helps us put ourselves in the right perspective, but we'll remember that Christ has invested himself and his honor in other believers, and we will be as resistant to or troubled by our own mistreating of them as anyone else is mistreating of us. And so these are the things that are distressing, and probably should have put distress, not despair, in the title there for the section on verses 1 and 2. From distress to delight. The delight is exactly the opposite. I have trusted in your mercy. That's mercy there is chesed, steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to Yahweh because he has dealt bountifully with me, or beautifully with me. Maybe a better translation there. By the end of the psalm, David is certain that the Lord is dealing with him according to steadfast love, according to his covenanted love. The inner turmoil of verses 1 and 2 has been replaced by rejoicing and singing. How does he get there? Verses 3 and 4. The whole thing is a prayer, but in verse 3, he especially highlights the praying itself. Consider and hear me, O Yahweh, my God. So, he's not just addressing Yahweh as the creator God over all the earth. Yahweh is his own personal God. Learn to use that first person singular possessive. My God. Not just our Father. We are taught to pray corporately with the rest of the church to God as our Father. But the Bible teaches us to use the singular as well. My own God. The one who has bound me personally, individually, to himself. And who has bound himself to me in Christ. And so when he says, consider and hear me, he's laying claim to something that is his privilege as one whom God has brought into covenant with himself. Notice that he goes from distress to delight without a change in circumstances. But the very fact that he has the ear of heaven, consider and hear me, O Yahweh, my God, has changed his entire outlook. He's not forgotten. He is considered by Yahweh, his God. He is heard by Yahweh, his God. Even if he's on the verge of death. So he says, give light to my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And, you know, that may indicate that he's also ill, or perhaps the distress in verses 1 and 2 are making him ill. Many do make themselves ill with anxiety. It's even worse if your anxiety is over thinking that you're ill. So you think that you're ill, and you make yourself anxious, and anxiety makes you ill, and then you know that you're ill, and you get more anxious. But he cries out to God, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And the circumstance doesn't change, but he has the ear of God. The enemy still seems to be on the verge of victory, verse 4. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Again, the circumstance is still there in verse 4. The inner turmoil, the side effects of the inner turmoil are there. The enemy and the enemy being exalted is still there. But he has the ear of God. Consider and hear me, O Yahweh, my God. That first line of verse 3 is the explanation for how he goes from the distress of verses 1 and 2 to the trusting and stability and rejoicing and thanksgiving of verses 5 and 6. What can the enemy do to him if he has the ear of heaven? Here is a sinner who has the ear of the Holy One of Israel. So, Psalm 13 is an example of what Romans 8:31-39 look like in raw experience. Here's someone who's in the middle of terrible circumstances, but he knows even those circumstances cannot separate him from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God has covenanted himself to him. God has made him, God has made himself to be his God. And so he has access to the throne of grace. And he can say, consider me and hear me, O Yahweh, my God. That's the ability, that's what in real life it looks like, to say nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And even in all these things, I am more than a conqueror. We are more than conquerors. How does he know that he's a super conqueror? Because he has the ear of heaven. The Lord has not yet acted to eliminate or humiliate the enemy, but the Lord has encouraged his saint by granting him assurance that he is heard, even as he cries out. So, one of the things you see earlier in Romans chapter 8 is not only that the Spirit enables your heart to call God Abba Father, but he also testifies along with your spirit that God is your Abba, that God is your Father. So you have this access to God in hard circumstances. And when you make use of the access, one of the things that God, the Holy Spirit, does is he testifies with you that you have a right to the throne, that you are being heard, that God is your Father, and you are his child. So you've got this theology, but one of the ways that God drives that theology home to your heart is by making use of prayer as a means of grace. You can see it at work in David here in Psalm 13. The circumstance has not changed. The great thing that triggers the difference from the distress in verses 1 and 2 to the delight and the stability in verses 5 and 6 is this: consider and hear me, O Yahweh my God, in verse 3, and his repeating to the Lord the situation, or his concern in the situation, and the rest of verse 3 and verse 4. It is an immeasurable privilege to have access to the throne and to the ear of him who sits on it. But we subject ourselves to much unnecessary distress and anxiety by not availing ourselves of our privilege. Not only because the Lord has ordained prayer as something through which he acts, but because his Spirit blesses to us the praying itself, assuring us in our own spirits that we have the ear and the heart, as it were, of the King of Kings. So let us avail ourselves of our privilege tonight, calling upon the ear, asking God to consider us and hear us.